Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, you know that I like the narrative. I do like a bit of narrative in the Premier League, and you guys know that I like a little bit of narrative here on a Sunday night. How's this for you? Ex-Burnley manager Sean Dyche rocks up at Everton. Difficult game at home to the champions-elect Arsenal, probably the best team in the league right now. And the goal that wins it is a McNeil assist, James Tarkowski header from a set piece. That's the best narrative I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's up there, isn't it?
It's definitely up there.
We sat here, didn't we? And we talked on our Ohana podcast and we spoke last week about, you know, Dyche might have a bit of bounce and, you know, they might be solid. They might be solid defensively because that's what Dyche does.
But I think we were sitting here going, yeah, but Arsenal, I mean, they ain't going to keep out Odegaard and Saka and Nketiah in the form they're in, right? I don't think any of us really truly believed that Everton were going to get a result.
No, I don't think I did say to you, I thought I fancied a 0-0 because it was boring. It was 12:30 kickoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Boring games. 12:30 is generally.
Yeah. Difficult.
Difficult.
Yeah.
But I don't. I wouldn't have put money on it. You know, it was just one of those things like, would it surprise you if Burnley got a 0-0? Never did I think Everton were going to go and win the game.
You just call them Burnley.
I did call them Burnley, yeah. I mean, it feels a bit like Burnley, doesn't it? But
unbelievable narrative.
Ridiculous.
Dwight McNeil with a really good assist. James Tarkowski with a header from a set piece. And actually, we'll talk about it in a bit more detail later on. Everton, very good. Very, very good. He stopped the fullbacks bombing on. They played with the back four. They worked their socks off. I saw some statistics about how far they run. That's the furthest collectively an Everton 11 has run in the Premier League this season. So that's more effort than they ever put in for Frank Lampard. There's a lot going for them, isn't there? And they've got an easy fixture up next at Anfield. So,
let's talk about that later.
Let's not.
The training ground stuff has been interesting though, hasn't it? Like the fact he's come in and gone do a beat test. And what I loved, there were some hilarious photos that Everton published of Dyche laughing while the players were literally bent
Dyche
over
is
dying.
Legend,
and he's just standing there looking at them like,
laughing.
Come on, get a grip, work harder. And I've got so much time for that.
There was a bit on, was it his post-match interview after the game or was it on Match of the Day? Can't remember. Anyway, one of his post-match interviews, they were talking to him about, what have you done this week? You know, what
made
have you done
this week?
And he said, made him work, blah, blah, blah. But he also said about being honest. He said he's called them all in and he's had a really honest conversation with them about where they're at. He said there was a few players that said to him, look, I didn't, you know, as a player, I didn't put everything in that I could have for the previous manager, for whatever reason. But I'm willing to put it on the line for you, Sean. And they've just had an honest heart-to-heart. They've had a real coming-together moment. And listen, they looked miles better. Miles better. Very, very good indeed. Also, more narrative for you, Sam. Harry Kane, 200 Premier League goals.
Yay.
267 goals for Tottenham Hotspur.
Yay.
Now the out-and-out all-time record leading goal scorer for Spurs ahead of Jimmy Greaves.
Yes.
Legend. There's nothing else you can say about him. He's going to have a statue. He'll have everything, right?
He's got my heart as well.
He's got your heart as well.
I've actually got tears in my eyes now listening to you say that. I've gone.
I knew as I was saying it. I thought you were going to get emotional.
I've not cried on a live stream since Gareth Bale.
God.
Oh, God, I've gone.
For the benefit of the podcast sister, Sam is actually crying right now at Harry Kane and his 267 goals.
I knew it was going to happen today as well. I told you not to sell him, you idiot.
And yes, I did. Absolutely. I have sold him in FPL. More on that later on in what was a very, very below par game week for me. But
I haven't even got a tissue.
A very, very good week for you, Sam. And the rise continues. I don't know how you're getting on the old Second Chance League. I know there's many people on the live stream that are really taking much interest in the FPL Second Chance League or whatever it's called. But you must be nearly first, to be fair. You must be right up there because the climb is absolutely real, guys. We'll talk about overall ranks and teams and all that sort of stuff later on.
It's mostly Kepa, to be fair.
Oh my God, Kepa. Honestly, without Kepa these last 3 weeks, I think I'd be over a mil because Kepa has been keeping it real, hasn't he, this week. Another 10-pointer for Kepa Arrizabalaga. So good.
Getting points, can he?
So good. As someone in the chat has quite rightly pointed out, Lee, wasn't it you that famously once said Harry Kane is finished? I think I did say that a few seasons ago. I meant finished for that season.
No, you didn't. You said finished as a player.
I think I did say that. Leary is top scoring Spurs record legend. Got a statue, captain in England at major finals, but you know,
we don't have any statues. This would be a first outside the new stadium.
He definitely deserves one. Listen, we've got a few super chats.
I've got my new shirt on today.
You've got your new shirt on.
And it was lucky.
Listen, nothing lucky about the Spurs performance today. I mean, Harry Kane. We'll save it, right? Harry Kane rightly will get the headlines, but there's a certain couple of players in your midfield that I wish we had half of them sort of players at Anfield at the minute.
You can't have them.
Rodrigo Bentancourt and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, absolutely fantastic today. Very, very good indeed. Nigel the Crab. Hello, Nigel the Crab. Hello, Cyberdet. How are you? Evening, Mr. and Mrs. B. Evening, mate. Guess who bet on an Everton win? Did you really? No way. Tarkovsky, an essential buy. not sure about essential. By the way, I hope I only took a -4 this week, which is shocking. Hope you're both well. Yeah, Cyberdet, Nigel the Crab, famously loves a -20.
I would like to just confirm to everybody on the live stream.
Go on.
That in the Slack today, during the Spurs game, Cy popped in and he said, guys, I'm just letting you all know, I've done 155 transfers so far this season.
Ridiculous.
We are only in game week 23, Cy. How have you possibly done?
What is your overall rank? I suspect he's got some catching up to do. Let's see who else is in. Paul Cook, 61 goals to beat Shearer. Yeah, so he's 8 behind Rooney now, Harry Kane.
Do that
and
next week
he's
against
got,
Leicester.
Well, quite possibly. Loves a goal against Leicester, doesn't he, to be fair? Yeah. Whether he really likes 8 or not, I don't know. But he does love a goal against Leicester. That is the team against which he has scored the most of his 200 Premier League goals.
Yes.
By a long way, I think. Arsenal are up there, by the way. I'm missing the stats. But Leicester, by far, the team that he likes to score the most against in the Premier League.
Yes.
In the Premier League.
Yeah.
We've got Paul Cook is in. Only 1 point behind you now, Lee. Now, Paul, does that mean you or does that mean Sam? Spoiler alert for a bit of a overall rank update later on in the video, but Sam is absolutely on my coattails, and by the end, once game week 22 is done, she's going to be ahead of me, guys, and that is more to do with how well you are doing, less how I'm not exactly doing bad, I'm doing fine, right? But you are absolutely on one at the minute, no doubt about it. Evening both. FPL Harry says, how are we doing?
Hey, Harry.
Nice to see you, mate. Nice
looking
to see
seeing you tomorrow.
Got some thoughts on Chelsea as well. They didn't play too badly.
Spoiler alert, I'm going all in on Chelsea.
Well,
I've become obsessed with one of their new defenders. Well, he's my new obsession.
He was very good, wasn't he? How do you say his name? You know how to say his
Badashai.
Name. Okay, I'll butcher it if I say it, so I'm not going to say that.
Just
but
call
he
it Ben.
Looks very, very good indeed. And Reece is back.
I want him.
And got the start. And Chile got subbed on as well. So all of a sudden, maybe the malaise around Chelsea is lifting. And also some of the stats around Enzo Fernandez's performance, not suggesting that he's
good.
An FPL asset yet. Although he's very, very cheap in FPL, isn't he? But
Modric was good as
looks
well
very
on,
good.
Looked
very good. Yeah, okay. I thought it was okay, Modric. I thought it was okay. If you're a Kai Havertz owner, I'd love to hear in the chat how many points you think you should have got this week. I mean, so unlucky, Kai, not to score. One off the post. A couple of others were it not for very, very
comment
tight
on
calls.
Comment on Ziyech's facial expressions walking into the stadium.
That's a weird one, isn't it? Because he actually had an all right game.
Played
Ziyech.
Well.
He had an all right game.
He looked raging that he was there and then played really well. What were you doing?
There was this video of him walking in and sort of tapping people's hands as they were coming off the coach, arriving at the bridge. And he
that
looked
is.
like a face like thunder.
Yeah.
Looked like he just didn't want to be there.
It was the death stare.
It probably was a CH death stare.
Yeah.
But he actually played all right.
Played
he
well.
Actually played fine. Daniel Banks is here. How are we doing? He says, Rashford's going to get a red card midweek. I don't think so, Daniel.
That's the only way Lee can stay ahead of me.
Don't think he's that sort of player, personally. He is absolutely on one at the minute.
Well, unless he's playing against Jack Grealish.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Oh, Romero sent off today, didn't he? Goodness me. Paul's back in with a comment. Me too, Sam. Chelsea might be dark horses, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think
maybe.
This
well,
is
this is what happens
there.
When
we'll
you spend half a billion quid on players. It's something that tends to happen.
Finn
McCann, how are we doing?
Hey,
another
Finn.
Lovely green arrow for Finn. So another nice game week
Finn's
for Finn.
Yes, Finn's in my camp.
Joe Thurgood, who's one of our new patron supporters, by the way. So, Joe, welcome to FPL Family Patron. 64 points with no chip played this week. I don't think that's that bad with no chip played.
That's quite good with no chip.
Probably all right. But no doubt about it. Get in the comments if you're in the live chat. If you're watching the replay, get in the comments and I want to know how many Rashford captainers are out there. Triple captainers are out there. There's a lot of you. There are a lot of you. And it is going to be a season defining game week, this one, because when he popped up with that assist for the penalty on 4 or 5 minutes, I just thought, uh-oh.
We were sat in St Albans City Stadium, weren't we?
And I went, here we go.
And I was on SofaScore, was pinging on my phone. I was like, Lee, Man United got a penalty. He was like, who's taking it? I was like, Bruno. He was like, all right then. And I was like, Rashford's got the assist. Yeah. He was like, oh, here we go. And you actually turned to me and you were like, this is the beginning of the end for me.
Well, do you know what? It was weird because I listen, we'll cover it later on, but I have captained Rashford this week. Not treble, but I've captained him. And it felt very much like it was a damaged imitation because his EO, his effective ownership in and around me,
anyway,
was a,
right?
Would have what?
You would have, there was, you weren't doing it just because people were triple captaining him. He was the one you wanted to captain, right?
I actually was surprised how much narrative there was in the community last season.
It's a lot.
I was surprised how much narrative in the community about, was it Rashford this week or Haaland next? I don't. For me, it was never any
never
question.
Never a choice. No,
for me,
I
thought it was always
Ohana,
Rashford.
Didn't I?
And on Ohana, I was sitting there trying to sell you Haaland for next week, and you were like, not having it. Rashford, this week, definitely. Now, listen, could get nothing against Leeds, no doubt. But even so,
unlikely.
He still would have done better than, you know, Haaland captain from a few weeks ago, triple from a few weeks ago. And if you didn't play the chip, pretty sure you're going to be playing it now on Haaland next week. I can't see that there's another or a better time throughout the season to play it.
Well, there might be. You know, you've got.
But then he's not exactly firing, is he?
You know.
And nor is City.
And you have got teams like that don't have any European football left that still have matches left to be rearranged.
True. Yeah, true.
So if you've got teams like, you know, Arsenal or Newcastle that have decent fixtures and you get a player in good form, then you could. Like, I don't think it's essential that you play on Haaland next week. And in fact, my advice would be don't. After the way that City played today.
Yeah, well, let's dive into the fixtures, Sam. Why don't we start there? There's absolutely loads, loads to discuss this week. But I've got to find my fixtures page. Here it is. And let's dive into it then, because a game that you'll absolutely want to dive into. Spurs 1, City 0 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. All the Harry Kane narrative, etc. We'll talk about that in a bit more detail. But City, I mean, listen, they're going to be on everyone's radar because of the double game week coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But how many do you want to invest in now? And in who as well? Because for Mahrez owners, a difficult week, being hauled off on 58 minutes.
Yeah.
For KDB owners like me, a difficult week because he gets the bench in against Spurs.
Yeah.
Grealish kind of just throws himself a bit. Foden, not even in the picture. Cancelo now out of the picture. By the way, got 2 assists for Bayern Munich today. See that?
Isn't that? But it's returns in both the games he's played in for them, isn't it? Did he get a goal in the first?
Because
one?
He's a really good player.
What are they doing?
So I don't know what's going on at City at the minute, but one of the, what was the word that Gary Neville used? Scrappy or something like that. He used some word that described City at the end of the Sky commentary. I can't remember it, but anyway, it was the perfect word. But it was along the lines of scrappy. It was just like they're not right at the minute. Haaland, no shots on goal today. Nobody really creating for him.
But the whole thing's not right. Like, at the end of the game, I was listening to Pep talking, and he moaned in his interview that it takes 4.5 hours to get to London, and it's too far. And now they've got to go back to Manchester and prepare for Aston Villa. Stop. Right. He said, I think he said something along the lines of, it's like going to Northern Europe. What are you talking about, Pep? There's just a load of rhetoric. There you are. A narrative,
like
there you
it.
Go. A nonsense going on at the minute. You don't, in my opinion.
Ah, sorry, Rahul, scruffy. That was the word that Neville used, scruffy.
Yeah, well,
you're
were.
Absolutely right, Rahul. And I thought they were.
But so he's come to London to play what is, and in my opinion, for them, it was always a must-win game. It's huge. Arsenal have just lost.
Like, well, I said to you yesterday, didn't I? When that Arsenal result came through, I said, wow, that gives City a shot in the arm against you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it just... But they just weren't at it today.
They never looked at it. Like, it, whenever they came forward, like, the Spurs' defence looked good today. We never looked good defensively, by the way, so that tells you something. The fact that we got to the end of the game, and I was like, that's the best game I've ever seen Emerson Royale play.
Emerson Royale was proper today, wasn't he?
Now, but
he was so good.
He was, and we shouldn't take anything away from that, but equally, what does that say about Manchester City? Because those players...
And Grealish's performance in particular.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, we only played them, what was it, last week? Week before last? And actually for 65 of those 90 minutes, we were by far the better team in that game as well. They had 15 minutes where they were excellent, but they never got that 15 minutes today. They just never got any cohesion. And I still go back to the fact that we keep changing the team. He changes the system all the time. He's changing the defence is different every single week.
Mm.
And when you are building a team that's going to challenge, you need some consistency there. And
do you think he's lost a bit of the dressing room? Do you think it's just starting to turn? And I appreciate I'm in no position to talk about a team turning.
So,
but...
okay, so I've said this, I know you don't like me saying it about Klopp, because you love Klopp, and I was exactly the same when people said it about Poch. I never wanted Poch to go, because that's where my loyalties still remain to this day. However, there comes a point in every FPL, in every Premier League manager's journey where things change. It happened for Arsene Wenger quite late on with him, because he did amazing things with Arsenal for a long period of time. But there comes a point where you just wonder whether, and I know that you say at Liverpool right now, well, it's because we need to turn over the squad, they're getting older, and that's all true. Mm. But at Manchester City, that's not an issue, right? Yes, they've got some older members of the squad, but they've also got some brilliant youngsters in there.
They've spent a lot of money, let's not beat around the bush. Right. Grealish was $100 million.
Correct. So you've got a squad there. Now, something's gone off with Cancelo. I'm sorry. You don't play
it's
him.
It's a massive red flag.
You don't play him every week till game week 17.
Massive red flag.
And then not start him, apart from in two games, one of which you haul him at half-time, and then sell him. I know he's gone on loan so far, but effectively sell him to Bayern Munich. He's not coming back. And he's gone out there and he's returned attacking returns in both the games he started in for them. And I think they've kept clean sheets as well. Now, that for me is massive, because he is such an important player, or he always was. Like, you think back to last season, up until the point we started getting benched, in the 51 games he could have started for them, he started 50.
Mm. So what does all this mean for us in FPL, though? So we're all sitting there with Haaland. I don't think any of us are thinking of selling him anytime soon. But if you've got Kevin De Bruyne, for example, sitting there with, what, 10, 11 million in your team?
Well, so as a Mahrez owner, I'm like, okay, fine. Because he's cheaper, he's going into a double game week, I'm not going to sell him ahead of a double game.
Interesting, he got the start again. He's getting the nod, though, isn't he?
Yeah, it slightly concerns me that he took him off. Why did he take him off and put KDB on? Because I thought that was an interesting one. Maybe because he thought Grealish was getting more joy down that side.
Mm.
Don't know. Maybe, who knows? But he took Mahrez off. What does that mean for next week and the week after?
Were you surprised he bought Mahrez off?
Yeah, I was. I wasn't expecting it. I thought it might be either Silva or Alvarez that he took off for Mahrez, but for KDB. So I'm all right with Mahrez. I don't think KDB is... This is a ridiculous thing to say, because he's brilliant. But can you really... I've only got two City players right now, because I finally sold Cancelo. Can I really justify buying KDB right now?
I don't think you can. But equally, if you've got him in your team,
you can't sell him
ahead of a double game week. So I don't think there's going to be too many bringing him in. But equally, I've got him and I'm not selling him, particularly as he's rested him today. And I say rest. There was some talk before the game about it was more of a tactical thing. I think there was a few Man City forums that maybe were predicting that KDB was not going to start against Spurs because of the way that Pep wanted to set up against you today. Well, it didn't work, did it, quite frankly? And I do expect KDB to come back into the team. So from that perspective, I'm not too concerned about his game time. But it'd be interesting to see what I do with him after the double game week, I must say.
The thing is, though, this double game week is... So you've got two very diverse games here, right? You've got Aston Villa and you've got Arsenal.
Mm.
Two massively different teams to play against. If you're Pep, what do you do with those? Because you've got to win both games. Do you keep all your best players and try to keep them fit for the Arsenal game, which is second?
Yeah.
And therefore put out a slightly less normal for Pep team in against Aston Villa, or do you go for it and play the likes of KDB and Mahrez and all of those against Villa? Like, I don't know how he's going to do it. And as somebody that's only got two Man City players, I look at it and go, well, I should have three because it's a double game week and it's Manchester City. But I've got Haaland and I've got Mahrez, and I look at the rest of that team, I don't fancy a defender at all. I think that, you know, Arsenal are going to score. Yes, they could get a clean sheet against Villa, but I don't think they will.
Yeah. If you were a Kevin De Bruyne owner this week and you took him out for Bruno
this week,
would you... Because a lot were thinking, well, I'll hokey-cokey and bring De Bruyne back in because I'll have the money. Mm. Would you do that?
No. I mean, Max did that. We discussed this.
You did KDB to Fernandes.
He did KDB to Fernandes, and I said to him, you might want to think about swapping it back the week after. And he went, oh, yeah, all right then. I'm pretty sure when we speak about it, having watched the game today, my recommendation to him is not going to be buy KDB back. Because you've got to remember that Bruno has got Leeds again next week.
Totally.
So I wouldn't. And Bruno's much better away from home than he is at home. So going to Elland Road, I would expect Bruno to do well.
Yeah.
I think if anything, I'd recommend you going with one of the cheaper options.
Okay. Another super chat from Si. Thank you, Simon. City look aside in transition. Yeah, they do a little bit. With Pep being challenged by senior players, I'm going to go without City assets for the rest of the season. That's brave, mate. That's brave.
What, none?
Well,
like,
yeah,
you're going to keep Haaland.
You've got to have Erling, haven't you? I mean, you've got to. It was 60 minutes last game, we got a hat-trick. I mean, come on. This is this guy can do that.
He can do that. And you have to have him because of his ownership. But the reality is that's one game since the restart where he's actually really impressed me.
I know, but that's a haul. And I know, if you miss out on the haul at 80% EO, you're screwed.
That's why you've got to have him. But you look across the rest of that City team and you're not seeing hauls like we used to from players. Not consistently anyway.
Yeah.
And I think for
the other thing is they don't blank in 25 either, do they?
Who, City?
City play,
no,
don't
they?
So you've
so do Arsenal. And I'd rather treble up on Arsenal than I would Man City.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of people who spent the two transfers this week getting in... The double is for Manchester United, mostly for Manchester United, to be fair, and maybe dealing with some issues that arose from the transfer window. You probably only got one transfer, so anything more than one is going to cost you points. Now, I want to get another Arsenal player. I've only got two. I need to have three for this double. Do I really want to take a -4 for a City player right now?
Well, here's a good question from Stephen Harker. Thank you, Stephen, for the question. Would you captain an Arsenal player over a City player?
Now, this is a really good question.
Here's a good question for next week, because I think before this Spurs game today, many were, I think most of us were saying, well, we're going to captain Haaland next week in the double game week. Double game week 23, we're going to captain him. And if you still have the chip, you're probably going to triple him. Are we backing away from that? I mean, are we saying we're not going to captain Haaland in 23? Surely we are, aren't we?
I think it's debatable.
I think there is a conversation to be had now, I have to say. And I think I'm going to have the conversation, and then I think I'm still going to captain Haaland. But last week, beginning of today, I wasn't prepared to have a conversation. Now I'll have a conversation about it, but I still think I'm going to go Haaland next week. Would you go elsewhere? You're going to Arsenal?
I think I might.
Reckon.
I didn't want to captain. I was adamant I wasn't triple captain in Haaland next week. Even before today, I was absolutely adamant that it wasn't even a conversation. It was Rashford.
Villa
this
just
week.
Shipped four goals to Leicester at home.
Well,
I mean,
I'm not saying, I'm honestly not saying that I don't think Haaland can get something.
Of course he can. He can hat trick in 60 minutes in that game.
Absolutely, he could. He could, if he plays 60 minutes in that game. Are we sure he's going to?
Who's your legit option from
Saka.
Arsenal then? Saka. So of all of the Arsenal assets, the only one that would tempt you away from Haaland is Saka, potentially.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I'd put it on anyone else. I think Saka would be the one.
I couldn't do it, I'll be honest.
The thing is...
It's Erling for me. I couldn't do it.
The fear will get me. And I'll put it on Haaland.
Yeah, but that's happened to you loads this season, except in the last 4 or 5 weeks where you've been smashing it and you've been doing what you want to do. So why don't you go for Saka?
Well, I don't own Saka yet, so I'll have to bring him in.
That's a problem.
But I will bring him in. That'll be spoiler alert. There's my transfer for this week.
Nice
but I think, you know, you sometimes you have to just look at what's in front of you. And I think that for a lot of us, in the early part of the season... It was absolutely set and forget on Haaland because he was in consistently good form, playing in a City team that whilst they were changing quite regularly, because Pep does that, they were still performing at a high level. Over the last, well, particularly since they've come back from the World Cup, something went off. It must have done with Cancelo. And I do think that that's had a knock-on impact. Like Bernardo Silva lived with Cancelo. All of that stuff's got to be playing a part. There's got to be some, I don't know, there's something not quite right. I don't know what it is. It doesn't make Manchester City assets bad assets. It just means you're playing a bigger lottery in terms of their minutes. But it also means they're not... Like today, when you said Haaland didn't have a shot, you know, that for me is a worrying stat going into a double game week. Like, I've got a player who is either going to haul or get nothing.
The only thing I would say about the Arsenal captaincy, and here's some here's the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. For those of you that are members at Fantasy Football Scout, you can find this in the members area under the premium section. So if you are a member at Scout, you can go in and have a look at this. You can sort it by difficulty, move all the fixtures around if you want to. And if you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout, then there are some links in the description below where you can go and join the website. We use all the stuff from Scout we use on here. We use the fixture ticker. I've got the, you can see it in front of me here, I've got the members area with all the stats on it and all the sort of XG underachievers and all sorts. So really, really great source of stats.
Could you try again?
Oh, cheers,
Siri. Try again.
Thanks for that, Siri.
Siri wants you to talk about it.
I'll tell you what.
What is wrong with your Siri?
My watch is so sensitive. It's just, I must say something. Maybe it's every time I say Scout or something.
Why is it talking so much?
I don't know, but I've taken it off.
Turn Siri off with your watch.
That's my idea, that watch. But anyway, sorry, here goes another plug for Scout. So if you're not a member at Fantasy Football Scout yet, then you can join in the links in the description below. But Sam, the reason I brought this up, the fixture ticker, yes, Arsenal at the top. Yes, double game week. City at home, obviously, is one of them. Brentford at home doesn't scream goals to me in the way that Villa at home screams goals at me. Paul Scholes. Screams goals.
Scream? Don't scream at Scholes. He hasn't done anything to you.
Villa at home.
Screams goals.
Screams goals to me more than Brentford at home for Arsenal.
Okay.
Cool, that was hard to say, wasn't it?
It was. You're right.
Am I right? Or am I? What do you think?
I think Arsenal will be like a wounded puppy.
Do you think so?
And I honestly think that Brentford are going to have some problems.
Good defensively, Brentford. Come on.
No.
Good.
I honestly think that the game... I honestly think that that result for Everton against Everton will have massively... Like, Arteta will not have been happy.
Right.
The dressing room will not have been happy. They would have watched today's game going... Oh, we don't want Spurs to win, but I hope they could do us a favour.
Well, I want to get to that game, but we can't let the Spurs chat go. We've got to do it. We've done it a little bit already. Let's have a little bit more from you then. So Spurs, fixtures coming up. Leicester away. Harry Kane's favourite team to score against Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham at home in 24. Chelsea in 25. Wolves, Forest. God, if you've got Kane, you are absolutely sticking.
What are you going to do now?
Well, having sold him,
yeah.
I do have a route back.
Which is that,
and it involves selling Darwin Nunez, so I've got no problem with that whatsoever, let me tell you. I'm very happy.
Must have to sell someone else.
It would mean some downgrades somewhere else on some other players that that have got good fixtures or double game weeks this week. So I'm not prepared to do it this week. So I'm going to have to ride out that Leicester game.
Okay.
But 24 home to West Ham, probably bringing it back, aren't I? Three home games there in the next four. And it's West Ham, Chelsea, Wall, and Forest. And just going to wait to Molyneux in 26. You've got to have Harry, haven't you? You've got to have Harry for those, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people this week who were going, I'm going to bench Kane. And I was going, why?
Yeah.
Can't bench Kane.
I know.
And then you told me on Ohana you were going to sell him. And I honestly could not fathom it. And I was thinking, what am I missing? Are my Spurs goggles so Spursy now?
Yeah.
That I can't see something that's right in front of my eyes. But
what I will say, though, is I sold him to enable Bruno, right? So if Bruno goes mad against Leeds, it's justified, right? And I set up Nketiah for next week.
Yeah.
So, all right, okay. I've missed out on Kane's 8 points, but it's to be decided whether that was a good or a bad move right now.
Well, it's surely... Well, unless KDB does something magic during the double game,
which he could. So you can't say whether but you can't say it's a good or a bad move right now. But no. At the moment, it ain't looking good because he got the 8 points. Now, tell me how he gets 2 bonus points in that game. I got no idea.
Winning goal.
It's just a joke. I think they said at half time that the goal was the first time he touched it with his feet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even involved in the game, but he gets the what? Because it stop drinking. You're like that Kermit the Frog meme. You know, that meme where he like, drinks the tea. You're like, I'm just sitting there trying to talk about Kane. You're just like, shut up, he's a legend. And he is. I can't, like, 200 goals. I mean, my God, he is a legend.
I just cry again. I think he's... I don't know. But look...
But what was interesting about the Spurs performance today was, when you look at the other players that are winning games for you, it's not those that are usually in the FPL points. It's Bentancur. It's Højbjerg. It's that Eric Dier played well again today. It's your man who's rubbish usually at the back, Royale. They were all brilliant today.
Yeah.
But they don't feed the underlying BPS in the way that Harry does and the way that Son does and the way it used to do and the way that maybe Kulusevski used to do. So, you know, the Højbjergs and the Bentancurs, they don't get the bonus points. So Harry's free to, you know, one goal and he gets bonus points because the rest of your team... and not up there challenging him for the bonus points.
Yeah, but they're legends. But I think, you know, so the Spurs on the fixture ticker, right, they've got nice fixtures. And if you rolled that ticker on, they continue to be really nice. They're nice fixtures for quite a long time now for Spurs. And for me, we had a dip. There isn't absolutely no doubt that we had a big dip in our form. But it came at the time when Bentancur was injured. And I sat here and I said to you, when he got injured, this is massive. This is a massive issue because it completely affects the way that Spurs are able to function. And him and Højbjerg in the middle are so vital.
Bentancur's a player, by the way.
He's an absolute baller. Really, really good. But the two of them together are so important because Bentancur, mostly it's Højbjerg that will go forward. So Bentancur sits and he protects Højbjerg and allows him the ability to do that. And Højbjerg creates chances and opportunities for players like Kane. He moves the space around really, really nicely.
Do you know Bentancur reminds me of, without the aggression, Javier Mascherano, but a taller version. Yeah. But just the way he reads the game, like Mascherano, when he used to play for us, and to a degree when he played for West Ham, we played for Argentina, used to read the game so well. He just knew where the ball was going to go. He was like two, it's like chess. He's like two steps ahead. And that's how I look at Bentancur. Bentancur is, he's just a very intelligent footballer. He's not massively quick. He's not really powerful. He's not overly aggressive, but he's intelligent footballer. Mm. And it allows the others, like you say, Højbjerg, to be a bit more box to box. Højbjerg, you see him, like he joins in with the attack now.
Yeah.
You're like, they got the assist today. Yeah. And he's like, where's he come from? And it's because Bentancur's there.
But Højbjerg, I'm not saying that Højbjerg's the world's best FPL asset, but he's actually not a terrible FPL asset at the moment because he's so cheap.
Højbjerg, yeah.
He's not a terrible asset. He is getting involved in the attacking options and he could be a decent option. I think, look, Spurs, Harry Kane is an absolute hero. The man is an absolute legend. Between now and the end of the season, would I put it past him to get another 10 goals? No, absolutely not. Would I put it past him to get a couple against Leicester next week? No, absolutely not.
Very consistent, isn't he?
He is super consistent. Look, if it wasn't for Haaland, we'd all be waxing lyrical about Kane and the way he scored goals this season. It's only that Haaland has thrown the numbers into another stratosphere.
Yeah, yeah. All right, listen, that's enough about that game, but there is lots to talk about in that game, no doubt about it. A game that we touched on earlier, was it Everton-Arsenal you want to go to next or Chelsea?
I don't mind.
Well, let's do Everton 1-0, which was, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, a bit of narrative behind this one with Tarkowski and McNeil, the ex-Burnley players under Sean Dyche. When they were at Turf Moor, getting in amongst the points and winning the game for Everton. Did something go wrong for Arsenal here? Or was this just about Everton?
I don't think so.
Having a bit of new manager bounce and playing well?
I think so. I think, you know, we see it all the time, don't we? We see all the time that clubs massively bounce, particularly when, you know, we saw it for Everton last season under Lampard, they bounced. Yeah. When you bring in a new manager, it does have an impact on the dressing room, particularly when the dressing room has been lost to the manager. There's that immediate, like you said, I want to play for you. I want to try. I want to earn my stripes and all of that kind of stuff. Now, the thing that Sean Dyche has in his favour, a lot of things that Sean Dyche has in his favour, but one, a couple of the key players in that dressing room know him, have worked with him, know what he's all about. Tarkowski, I'm pretty sure, won't have anything bad to say about Sean Dyche. Same with Dwight McNeil.
Yeah.
So you've got two players that are quite vocal that would, you know, be positive about the new manager coming. Plus, for the rest of the dressing room, looking at Dyche coming in the position that they were in the league, would surely look at him and go, this is a man that if anyone's going to, could save us. Mm. Like, I'm not sure they would look at Bielsa or Hasselhoen and go, they could save us.
Maybe.
They're more for the future managers.
Yeah.
But that's not what Everton need right now. Everton need a manager that can come in and keep them in the Premier League because that is key to everything they've got planned with the new stadium and everything else. Now, I think this is just, Dyche has come in, he's changed the way that they work, he's had honest conversations with players, he's worked them hard in training, and he's gone out there and he's gone, we have nothing to lose because no one's expecting us to win this game. You go out there and you stop at these attacking wing backs and you focus in on your defence.
Yeah.
And he just nullified the Arsenal attack. Now, I don't think that means anything to us as FPL managers about Arsenal. This isn't about Arsenal.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, are you now concerned about Arsenal or not?
No.
I mean, I happen to think that they will bounce straight back. They had chances in this game. They created. I noticed actually, where was it? Here we go. Bukayo Saka, joint second for chances created this game week amongst all players. And they have plenty of players getting in amongst the BPS. But Listen, I just think they had a bad day at the office, and I think they come up against an Everton side on the wrong day.
Yeah, right?
It was, you know, to travel to Goodison for the lunchtime kickoff.
Weird games.
With Sean Dyche and the atmosphere at Goodison as it was. Difficult for Arsenal. Difficult. I think they'll be back next week.
I don't
week,
think there's
no
anything
issue.
To worry about with Arsenal. You know, I brought in Gabriel. I'm not bothered about him. I mean, I was annoyed he didn't keep a clean sheet, but I'm not worried about him moving forward. You know, I still think he's a good asset. At the end of the first half, when it was still 0-0, he was on for all three bonus points at that point.
So you brought in Gabriel this week. You've got Martinelli in midfield. So the title of this show, what I've put in the thumbnail, is the top three Arsenal assets for the double game week next week. Has your thinking changed from last week when we sat here and we said, well, it's Saka, Odegaard and Nketiah? Have you changed your thinking at all? Who are the top three Arsenal assets?
No, I think probably it's still those three. But for me, with my FPL team, I obviously had a big Cancelo-shaped problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually didn't have enough... I didn't think I was going to have enough defenders for this week because Luka Dean and Kyle Walker-Peters were both flagged. Now, as it happens, Luka Dean did actually play, although he got naught because he conceded four goals. But nonetheless, he did play. So that's better. I think... that's why I've got a defender. And I think a lot of FPL have an Arsenal defender.
Yeah.
So then the bigger question is, well, if you have got your Arsenal defender, I don't think you're getting off of them for the double game week.
No.
It's a case of choosing the two best Arsenal attacking options. And that's where it becomes more difficult if you want to choose two. Because you've got Odegaard, you've got Saka, and you've got Nketiah. They're the best three. But a lot of people still have Martinelli. He's the most heavily owned.
So what are we saying about him now then? Because obviously he got the 59-minute haul, didn't he? Which is
annoying.
Absolutely what you don't want to see from an FPL perspective, particularly on that minute. I mean, FPL generals mentions would have been going crazy, wouldn't they? But entirely predictable. As soon as the Trossard transfer happened a few weeks ago,
I agree.
All us Martinelli owners sat here and went, uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're going to see a few 59-minute subs. And here we are a couple of weeks later and we've seen it. Now, what happens in the double game week? I fancy Trossard for a start in one of those games.
I do.
I don't know which, but I fancy him.
Oh, he'll start against Brentford.
Possibly.
Because I think he trusts Martinelli in the system to play against Arsenal. Whereas Trossard, it's the same system. But he's different, isn't he? So against Arsenal in a must-win game, I think you go with your trusted. That's why Pep did it, didn't he? In the Manchester derby, he played Cancelo.
The one thing I will say about Trossard's cameo when he came on at Goodison Park, because I watched him quite closely, because I just thought, if this guy plays well for this half an hour, whatever, then we're in big trouble, Martinelli owners. And he did okay, and he used the ball well, but he was quite selfish. There's a couple of opportunities where he shot and he probably could have played in another player.
Yeah.
And there was at least one time when I remember seeing it towards the end of the game and he tried to curl one in the top corner. It went miles over and he's got Saka and Odegaard both there. And Odegaard's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Pass it. And I just wonder whether that...
Particularly when they're losing the game, by the way.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff doesn't go unnoticed by Arteta. Trust me, he's that sort of manager.
And that's what I mean about the trusting thing, right? Because Martinelli can be selfish when he wants to, but he also knows how to play in that team.
He's learned that, right? Yeah, you go back a couple of seasons, he was smashing it from 80 yards. But now he's learned, he's different. He plays as part of the collective.
Yeah.
It's going to take Trossard to learn that mentality. As you said, even when he was at Brighton, he was a pretty selfish player. And we liked that from an FPL perspective.
Of course.
So coming into this Arsenal side, we might look at that and say, from an FPL perspective, we might like that again. But I don't think Arteta and Odegaard in particular, the captain, they're going to be having words with him, aren't they?
I suspect.
He keeps shooting on sight. That's not Arsenal's mentality. That's not the way they've got to where they are in the league so far this season.
No, and so it's interesting. It goes back to what I said before, doesn't it? About how both Arsenal and Man City manage these two games. Because Pep's going to rotate, because he does in this first game. And then he's going to have to put out his biggest, strongest team against Arsenal. What do Arsenal do against Brentford? Because they don't have quite as much strength in depth and rotation. But do they try and rotate some of their players so they're ready for the big game at the top against Man City next week? Maybe.
Do you not think so? Nice comment by Alex. Micah, thank you, Alex. The Brentford game is more of a must win. The City game, could they draw that? would Arteta be happy with that? They've got to beat Brighton. Brentford at home.
Yeah, but
got to win that.
Could you see a situation where Ben White is replaced by Tomiyasu, where Martinelli is replaced by Trossard? Because if it's all going horribly wrong, you just replace Trossard with Martinelli during the course of the game and he's had a bit of a... I don't know. And this is where it's really hard with this, because the Man City game comes second. It's really hard to judge what Arteta's thinking, because in my view, Arteta will not be looking at that Man City game thinking that can be a draw. He will not be. He will be looking at that going, we have to win that, because if we win that, we take 3 points off them. It's a 6-pointer at the top of the league.
Yeah.
I don't believe that Arteta is thinking that we have to beat Brentford and we can afford a draw against Man City.
Final question on Arsenal then, from Liam Healy. Thank you, Liam, for the question. Would you swap an Arsenal defender to get an Arsenal attacker? So Liam's obviously thinking, well,
yeah,
one of my Arsenal spots is being taken up by a White, by a Gabriel, by a somebody. He wants to take that defender out, swap it to somebody else, and maybe do a hit or something, or use the second of his free transfers to get another attacker. Would you go that far to get the treble Arsenal up top?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because going into this week, I was really torn, because I wanted to go for Nketiah. The original plan was Nketiah, Darwin to Nketiah.
Yeah.
And then the Cancelo thing meant I had to change my strategy, and I just didn't fancy a City defender at all. Okay. So I thought, well, I'll go with an Arsenal one. And I still think, like, the likes of Gabriel, if you've got Gabriel, if you've got Saliba, I think you hold them.
I think they're okay. Ben White's okay, I think.
Yeah, but Saliba and Gabriel in particular have got the attacking threat. So there's always an attacking potential from those two. I think if you've got Ben White, I wouldn't take a hit to get him out. If it's a free transfer, that's maybe a different question. Like, if you haven't got Saka, but you've got Odegaard and Nketiah and Ben White.
I think the question Liam's kind of asking there is, do we fancy Arsenal to go crazy? I mean, do we fancy them to go crazy against Brentford and Man City at home?
I don't think I fancy them to go crazy. I could see Arsenal
fancy
playing
them to
out
go mental in either of those games.
I think they win both.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I think Arsenal will win both those games.
Not sure, you know. I think they get 4 points. I think they beat Brentford, and I think they draw at City. But what's interesting is actually after that, right, that's one of the reasons they're sitting top of the ticker, is it's Villa, Leicester, Bournemouth and Fulham after that. So, I mean, there's goals in all of those, isn't there? But equally, you'd say potentially clean sheets in those as well. Difficult, isn't it? Difficult.
I think you have, whatever you have, from my personal opinion, what you have from City and Arsenal, you hold.
Yeah.
What?
Unless it's John Stones.
Unless it's John... Oh, yeah. What are you going to do about John Stones?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Unless it's John Stones, what you have, you hold. And then you work out how you want to, if you want to, add to the mix, how you do that. But you don't change what you got, okay. I think.
All right, Sam. We are on 47 minutes. And we've covered two games.
Chelsea.
So we've got to go pretty quickly. Chelsea 0, Fulham 0. One of the things I would like to point out here on the Fantasy Football Scout members area is that Enzo Fernandez was top for tackling, not just for Chelsea assets, but across the whole game week with 9 tackles in midfield. So not only can he pick a pass and has got an eye for a pass and he was pretty creative, but he's picking up the Kante role as well. Very, very good indeed. Let me see if I can find him amongst midfielders.
Where is he?
No, he's not in there. Where did he pop up on here? Let's see. There he is, 22. Enzo, 22. On the bonus point system. So
I just wondered, because he was so high for that sort of stuff, often that equates to good scores in the bonus points.
This game it doesn't. I think if you looked at the Sky game, I think it probably does. I mean, I don't know. We don't play Sky Fantasy, but anybody that does, let us know whether Enzo is on the Sky radar. I'd imagine he is. I don't know. Don't play the game. But for sure, a classy signing by Chelsea. Very classy. And we're going to see more of him, I think, as we go through the season.
I like what they've done. I don't like what they've done. But I do like I do like what it means for us in FPL.
Yeah.
Because I do think that they have, with Enzo Fernandez, with my friend Badashai, they have...
Who are you going to get in FPL then? Because the Chelsea fixtures don't look too bad, as you suggest. It's West Ham up next. Okay, single game week, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Southampton at home. Spurs away, difficult game. Leeds, Leicester. So outside of 25, which is a game week where you're going to need as many of your playing assets as possible, because there's a lot of blanks that week.
Yeah.
So that would put me off Chelsea players a little bit, knowing that I'd need to play them away at Spurs.
Yeah.
But
They've got
4. You've got 4 nice games in and around that Spurs game. Yeah, we're going to be looking at them once they click, I think.
I'm looking at them already.
Yeah.
Because I think they're the sort of team that the fixtures are nice, the players are good and good value, and they offer you a differential now because they're so lowly owned, these Chelsea players. So
what about the fullbacks then? Give me your feelings on Reece James. I know your feelings on Reece James, but give me your honest thoughts on Reece James and Chilwell because they're back.
They are back. I worry a little bit about, and we saw it with James on Friday night, that slightly early sub. Because
that's only because he's just coming back.
Because he's coming back. But I do worry that that might be for a while with James and Chilwell, simply because their injuries have been long term, right? They've been out for a while. He's not going to want to risk them going back again, which we've had with Reece James in the past, and Chilwell for that matter. Both of them have done that, re-injured themselves quite quickly.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them play 60 minutes over the next few weeks, but that's okay if they're keeping a clean sheet.
I think you're crazy to be looking at Badashai over them two.
Why?
Badashai's got a ceiling of 6, isn't he, pretty much? I know he's got a bit of threat from set pieces.
He's got 2 bonus points in the last 2 game weeks because he's good for pass completion. He works well alongside Kepa, who's always getting pass completions with him because that's where they are together. Chelsea aren't offering a huge amount of attacking threat either, so they look like they're going to keep a clean sheet but not score that many goals. And if that's what happens in FPL, then the likes of Badashai and the likes of Kepa are the way you want to go because they will be the ones that pick up the bonus points.
Yeah, I did notice actually, again, on the Scout members area. So second for, where did I find it? It's around here somewhere. Here we go. Second for passes completed across the game week. First, Lewis Dunk, which again, we saw Lewis Dunk in there last week. Yep. So that tells you a lot about how much Brighton are controlling that ball at the back and how much he's moving forward to dictate play. More on Brighton in a second. But second, yes, Badashai from Chelsea. 100 and what that looks like, about 110, 111 passes completed by the Chelsea centre-half. Third, interestingly, is Thiago Silva with only a few passes left. So
the other thing is
yeah, that'll get the bonus points ticking over.
He's had 2 really good shots in the last couple of game weeks. Should have scored last week. Should have scored again this week. Had a good shot from outside the box. He reminds me, very different type of player, but do you remember last season when there was all that conversation and I was going backwards and forwards between what was the right decision, whether you have Rudiger, whether you have Reece James? I think it's the same conversation again.
Could
and
be.
I still prefer their centre-back to the wing-back.
Okay, all right. All right, let's go to a few other games, Sam, but before we do, a quick shout-out to all of our Patreon supporters. I know many of you are in the live chat this evening, so patreon.com/FPL family if you want a little bit more Sam and Lee in your life. We've got extra podcasts over there, which we put out every Friday just before the deadline. We've got Manager of the Month competitions. We've got the opportunity to have Zooms with Sam and I if you want to talk about your teams. We've got Slack community access, which is a bit like Twitter, but with nice people. And then we've got here the Manager of the Month for January. And a big congratulations to Duncan Crawford, who was our Manager of the Month for January. So well done, Duncan. Sean was second with 259 points. And Alaa was third with 253. So Duncan took the dub and he picked a Henrik Larsson signed shirt because Henrik Larsson was a big influence in his life when he was growing up. So there we go. Duncan Crawford, our Manager of the Month for January. Congratulations to you, Duncan. If you want to join our Patreon over on patreon.com/FPL family and want to go up against the likes of Duncan and Sean and Alaa for our February Manager of the Month competition, it's not too late to take part. If you go over to the link in the description below, you can find out all the details over on patreon.com. All right, Sam, let's go back to the games. And I need to get this off my chest.
Just going to move away.
Yeah.
Very far away.
Yeah. Because this is an FPL stream, we're going to keep this short.
Okay.
Don't pick any Liverpool players. And if you've got any, sell them. We are really, 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 really bad at the moment. And what's worse is that no one in any post-match interviews can tell you why we're really bad. I saw Milner in post-match interviews. I saw Klopp in post-match interviews. I saw, who is it? Ali maybe or somebody else? Can't remember. And they're all like, yeah, it is bad. We don't really know why. Can't put our finger on it. I'll tell you why. Because no one cares anymore. All their careers have peaked, so they're in decline, and no one's got the legs anymore.
Savage.
It is absolutely criminal that our best player right now is Stefan Bettecic. Can't even say his name. Sorry, kid, because you're our best player at the moment. And he's keeping Fabinho out of that team. because Fabinho doesn't care. Awesome. Hasn't got
Fabinho
the legs.
Is a lucky boy that he wasn't sent off last week.
The defending at the weekend was laughable. It was comical. Absolutely comical. It was shocking. I nearly said something else then. It was shocking. And I tell you what, we went to see St. Albans City on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. They won 2-1. Come on, you Saints. In the Vanarama South. And it was better defending than I saw at Molineux from Liverpool at the weekend. Absolute shite. Rubbish.
Stop.
Sorry. Absolute shocking. The second goal is actually comic. It's actually comical how rubbish it is. And then the third goal, Thiago has... Remember when Thiago first come to... Right, I told you I've got to get this off my chest. Remember when Thiago first come to Liverpool and I said he's a luxury player and he slows it all down? He's gone back to being a luxury player and slowing it all down. Like, he turns his head round and sees Neves. He sees the run and he's like, yeah, I'm just not going to track. Just can't be bothered with that. And then we don't go out and close Adama Traore down. And Traore just like... side foot passes it to Neves and it's a goal. And you've got Matip and Thiago looking at each other as if to say, well, thought you were doing it, mate. Thought you were doing it. They've all won loads of stuff. They've all got trophies in their cabinet from the last few years. They now don't care. That's our problem. And not only that, but they're all the wrong side of 30 and they haven't got the legs. We need Diaz back. We need Jota back. We need Betacic to keep playing well. We need Harvey to mature. We need Carvalho to mature. We need the centre halves. Oh my God. Rubbish. Anyone, even I, could look good again with Virgil van Dijk. Right? If I'm next to Virgil van Dijk, I'll look good because he's that good and he's a leader. But when you see, you get to see the real talent of a centre half when they're not next to that leader. And Matip and Gomez, neither of them are leaders. Both of them look good next to the Rolls Royce that is Virgil. And by the way, he's not having a great season either. But he's been brilliant for us. So we give him a pass. But when either one of those is next to Virgil, they look good. Play them together, rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Never seen all much rubbish in my life. Anyway, enough of that. Don't get him an FPL. I'm selling Darwin as soon as possible. If you've still got Salah, get rid. To be fair to Mo, he is making the runs. But the Muppets around him can't even see him. The only saving grace, I would say, is that Darwin did get into some decent positions. And I am really clutching at straws now because I'm trying to pick out a small positive outside of Stefan Betacic in our lineup. And the way that Darwin got into some positions was sort of okay. But even got one behind. So Trent plays the best pass he's played for weeks, Trent. He played it over the top. Darwin's in behind. Shoots it straight at Jose Sarr. Absolutely straight at him. I'm like, mate, just do something interesting, like curl it round him or slot it in the corner. Don't just hit it at him. Darwin, man, honestly. Anyway, I've had enough of this team. They're rubbish. And the problem is now, Sam, look what's next. Bloody Everton at Liverpool at Anfield. I'm worried about that game now. I'm telling you, I'm worried. 2 weeks ago, I was not worried about that game. Now I'm worried. Sean Dyche has got them working hard. He's got them working hard. And they've just beaten Arsenal and they're on a high. And they're coming to our place and we're crap.
It's a long way to go. Pep had moan. It's a long way across the park.
Across Stanley Park.
Yeah, it's enough for Pep to moan.
I will have £20 with you now. And remember, I made this bet with you when I said Matoma was good. So I do know what I'm talking about. I will have £20 with you now that Everton win the Merseyside derby
next
week.
Oh my God. Guys, has anyone got a room they can rent me out for a couple of weeks?
Absolutely because, shocking.
So all right.
Absolutely shocking.
Let me try and bring some positivity back to the stream.
Go on then. Try and pick through that rubbish that I've just spouted. And by the way, sorry, Wolves were very good. I'm not this. That's my week.
Okay, yeah,
that's
but
me
that,
wearing my heart on my sleeve. So, but Wolves were very good.
But that, sorry about what for what I'm about to say, Wolves fans. But that tells you a lot about Liverpool. Because Wolves do not score 3 goals.
Not exactly banging in the goals, are they?
No.
And so, I'll tell you what, they could have had more than 2 at half-time. Could have been 3 or 4.
So we, as he said, we went to St Albans City yesterday with Max and his little football team. We all watched the game.
It was great. I enjoyed it. I'm all about the Vanarama South now. I don't care about Liverpool in the Premier League. About St Albans City.
It was great. We had a lovely time. I had SofaScore on my phone.
Dear me.
And it was pinging. And it pinged quite quickly. And I went, Lee? And he went, don't tell me. And I was wasn't like, okay.
Interested. I knew what was happening.
And there's like a few of you, aren't there? And then this morning, obviously during the course of the game, I was like, sorry, Dar, it's got
rubbish.
Worse. It's got worse.
Rubbish.
And then this morning, there's three dads in the Liverpool camp down there. And they just all stood around and they were like, let's not even bother talking about it. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Is that...
But that's the problem. Okay. Even we as fans are looking at it going, well, that's this season went off. Watch us. Sorry, I know you can talk in a minute. Watch us put in a performance against Real Madrid. Watch us step up for that.
But why?
Because we've got... There's some belief that we could actually... I don't think we're going to win. But we could
what?
I was going to say we could win. I'm not saying we can win the Champions League. I'm absolutely not saying that. But what I'm saying is we're still in it. And if we continue to win games, we'll do it. I think they look at what's going on in the Premier League and they go, well, that's we're done. Forget it. We're not getting top four. So just what's the point? Whereas at least in the Champions League, there's a point. We'll turn up and we'll try and get through. I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying we'll try.
Okay.
I think we'll play all right against Real Madrid. But I think we'll lose against Everton.
I think you need a new manager.
God, so...
And I've said this...
No, we don't.
Because the thing is... Right, so you just sat here before for weeks and weeks and weeks when we've talked about Everton and to a certain extent about Leeds as well.
Yeah.
And blamed the managers. The players aren't playing for them. This, that and the other. Now, you've sat there and ranted about the Liverpool players. And yeah. You've said, oh, they've got no passion, and they've got no pride.
It's still not his fault.
But how can it not be?
It's still not his fault.
But it has to be.
It's still
and
not
it was
his fault.
The same when Poch left Spurs. I was absolutely beyond heartbroken.
What did Poch win at Spurs?
It's not about the past. At some point, Lee, you have to look at this and go, yes, the players are old. Some of them. Yes, they're probably past their peak.
So if it's right, we're going to stop this because I'm going to get annoyed. But if... So we need two or three central midfielders. So if FSG got their money out and spent 100 million on Enzo Fernandez like Chelsea have, that would fix our problems. It would. It would. And if we put our hand in our pocket and get Jude Bellingham in the summer, which we won't do, but if we did, or if we'd got him last summer, or even if we got someone like... the Wolves lad, Nunez, what's his name? Neves, whatever his name is, that we've been linked with, right?
Oh, yeah, Neves, yeah.
Guedes, whatever his name is. But if FSG actually put their hand in their pocket and invested in the club and the team, he'd have some hungry players. Now, he's been a very unlucky with injuries
but
as well.
You have invested. You've no, we bought haven't. Jota, you've bought Luis Diaz.
How much was Jota?
But it's not... I agree, they're not expensive. However, it's not... You have invested in your team.
Okay, if you think Klopp's a problem, that's fine. Right,
I don't think Klopp's a problem. I just think that at some point, things have to change. Okay. And the reality is you can't change the whole team now. From an FPL perspective, as a Darwin owner...
Yeah.
Oh, God, Darwin Nunes. I only kept him this week because I had to. Because I didn't want to take a -4. And it was the right thing not to take... It was the right thing. Because if I'd have -4'd him to Nketiah and then Nketiah had lost as well, that would have been a disaster.
That would have been a disaster.
So I was glad in a way that I didn't, because at least he picked me up a point or whatever.
Let's talk about a player who is absolutely bang on form that I did say I was going to get in a couple of weeks ago. I never did. Wish I did. Karu Mitoma. Absolutely sensational performance from him again. Picked up the 3 bonus points because he was the winning goal in the Brighton versus Bournemouth game. Still a no-go for you, though, Brighton, because of the blank game week in 25?
He's really difficult, isn't he? Because great form in every competition as well, by the way, not just in the Premier League. Regularly doing this, popping up at the end, scoring the winner, get the 3
unbelievable,
points.
Unbelievable, wasn't it? For those of you that did get Mitoma a couple of weeks ago, fair play. Like, fair play. Because there's so many FPL managers, me included, looking at that possible blank and possible this and possible that, and then not doing it because I want to get onto double game week. And anyone that got Mitoma was just like, well, screw that. He's bang on form and they got great fixtures. No brainer. Bang, get him in. Great shout.
I think the thing for me now is that we've got game week 23, and this was always my problem with Mitoma. I always wanted him, but my issue was, well, I want Bruno Fernandes for the double. And now I want Saka or Nketiah for the double. So I'm always looking at it going, well, I have to prioritise the double game weeker. Yes, I could take a hit. But if I take a hit for Mitoma, who would I take out of my midfield? Well, I can't take Mahrez out because I've got double game week coming up. So I'm sort of... I could do Pereira, but then I can't play everyone. So I've got a problem in itself.
The fixtures for Brighton between now and 25 still make pretty good reading, by the way. It's Palace and Fulham. Then it's the blank, which is the big problem, right? And then it's West Ham and Leeds. So
and then likely another blank, though.
Possibly a blank in 28 as well, which is the problem.
And they look like they will blank in 28. It's quite likely. So if they blank again in 28, then you've got four fixtures in six game weeks. And that's where it becomes hard. Because at the time where he's got four fixtures in six game weeks, Arsenal have got seven fixtures in six game weeks.
Yeah.
Manchester City have got seven fixtures in six game weeks. Now, and this is where as an FPL manager, you have to kind of weigh things up. Because as with everything, the form is key over the fixtures for me this season.
Totally.
Normally, you want a combination of the two. But actually, at the moment, it's really about the form for everybody. Because there's some weird results going on across the board at the moment. Like, so you want to pick the form players. And that is absolutely Matoma. But you just have to be...
A lot of the chat are saying Brighton could... double in 26, though. I've missed that. Could they double in 26?
Well, they potentially could be, if they decide to rearrange fixtures. But none of that is set in stone and none of that is certain. And it's all hearsay at the moment. So depends on where they put fixtures as to whether that happens or not. Now,
but be like those that bought him in a couple of weeks ago. Never mind the ifs, buts and maybes. He's in form. Class player.
Yes, absolutely. But those players that bought him in a couple of weeks ago. So if you bring him in this week... You just have to be aware, don't you? And it's one of those planning things that goes, well, okay, so we know that Newcastle and Manchester United and Brighton and Brentford blank in 25. Brentford, I think you can easily sell. If you've got Tony, you move to Nketiah this week and it's an easy move. And then you just, you've solved one issue. Most people have sold Almiron already now. So you've probably just got Trippier. Maybe you've doubled up on the Newcastle defence. Well, that's an easy enough out if you want to get out of that. So that's fine. Your big issue for 25 is going to be... You're going to want to keep Trips. You're going to want to keep Matoma. That leaves you one space on the bench for a Manchester United asset. Mm. That's going to have to be Rashford. If you've trebled up for 24, you have to sell. Sorry, for 22, you have to sell Bruno and probably Luke Shaw, whoever else it is you've got. Before
Do you want
get,
to sell, though? Because they've got Liverpool and Southampton after.
Before you get to 25, or... You have to accept you don't have 11 players for 25.
Mm.
Now, that is where the big question is, because actually, it's actually okay to not have 11 players for game week 25. Maybe if you've got 10, you just accept you've got 10.
Yeah.
And you move.
Could Everton actually, and I appreciate we've moved on from Everton now, but could they actually fill a bit of a hole for us? Now, listen, they've got the Merseyside derby in 23, which is a red fixture according to the fixture ticker here. But let me tell you right now, it's not. Leeds in 24 at home. Villa at home in 25. I mean, is it beyond the realms of possibility that you start looking at a Tarkowski or an Everton defender to just plug a hole for you and do a job for you in 25?
I mean, that's part of the reason Luca Dean is still in my team, because he does feel a problem in 25.
He's got Everton away, right? Yeah.
So I was kind of like, and actually it looks a less nice fixture now than it did two weeks ago.
Yeah,
however, I was just like, well, I just need people to be playing, right? So I need my bench to be active, ready for that game week. And people are going to have injuries that they have to deal with and all of that kind of stuff. Like, you've got John Stones, you're going to have to deal with that before we get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of things that need dealing with. And I think there's no reason you shouldn't buy Matoma as long as you are aware of how you are going to manage the blanks when they come.
Sure. Okay.
That's all I'd say.
Well, he looks absolute class to me. I don't know how Brighton keep doing it, but they keep churning out these players. They've got some unbelievable talent in that squad. And what a, just a, well-run, brilliant football club they are at the moment, Brighton.
I really like what Deserby's doing down there.
Absolutely brilliant football club. What else to discuss? Anything else you want to talk about? Can we talk about United? Let's do United quickly. United 2, Crystal Palace 1. Obviously got the Leeds game still to come in midweek as the second game in the Man United
Casemiro
double game
now.
Week. Without Casemiro, who... I guess it's a red. I don't know if you want to give an opinion on that, but it's... He's got his hands around his throat.
If you put your hands on somebody's neck,
you run a risk, don't you? You run a risk.
For 1 second,
you
could be deemed
to
be committing violent conduct. And therefore,
with VAR,
you will be sent off. And I think he put his hands there and therefore...
How does that affect them going forward, though?
Well,
so no Eriksen and no Casemiro now for not just the Leeds game that we've got still to come in 22, but for some reasonable looking fixtures going forward as well. As we said before, the United fixtures are Leeds and Leicester up next. So that's not a typo, by the way. They have got Leeds in 22. They've then got them again in the reverse fixture in 23. Then it's Leicester at home. And then obviously Liverpool and Southampton, the other side of their blank in 25. How are you going to move your United assets, which are Fernandes, Rashford and Shaw, I guess, same as most FPL managers? How are you going to move those guys around this blank in 25?
Well, my plan was never to keep Bruno. My plan was always to have him for this time around and then probably swap him for Saka. But now that Darwin Nunes has been so terrible, I'll probably do something else instead. And I'll probably keep Bruno for the Leeds game because, you know, he could easily return against Leeds twice in a week.
Yeah,
particularly in their away fixture. I fancy Bruno more in the away fixture than I do in the home fixture.
Playing well,
because that's
Bruno,
where
isn't
his form has
playing
been.
Well. Second for chances created again, by the way, joint with Saka. Nonto, interestingly, is top for chances created so far this game with 5. But joint second with Saka on 4, Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, and I like Bruno. And what will they do? I mean, they've got the new signing, haven't they? They could drop him in there, in that who they got on the back of the Eriksen injuries. So they could drop him in there instead.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's ready yet. I mean, with a week, you know, or it's not quite a week, but he's got, what has he got, 4, 3 days? Wednesday night, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe they drop him in there. They've got Fred, they've got McTominay, they've got people. Look, it's not, due respect to Leeds, they've not got Man City, they've not got, you know, Arsenal, they've got Leeds. So they should be able to attack that Leeds team with those guys that they still have left and available. And they've got people like Sancho back, you know, Martial. So they've got plenty of options, I think. I wouldn't be too worried.
Is Martial back? I don't know if he's back.
He was back and played for a bit, didn't he? In the, which was it, League Cup? Yeah, the League Cup. He came back in for a bit. I'm not too worried about Manchester United, but I do need a plan for Manchester United because
you
can't
sell Rashford though, are you? I mean,
no. But I can't carry 3 through the blank because I also want to carry Trippier through the blank.
Trippier and Rashford, I think you've got to carry.
Yeah.
I think you've got to carry.
I think for me, the question mark will be on Bruno and Shaw because one of them probably is not getting carried through the double. Now, Bruno, if he continues to play as he has been in recent weeks since the World Cup restart, he's been really, really good. Luke Shaw started brilliantly, didn't he? The first 3 back after the World Cup. Then he did nothing for 3 weeks. Then he did get the assist this time around. And then, of course, they didn't keep the clean sheet after Casemiro
got
sent off.
Yeah, were it not
so
for
it
the red,
unlucky.
I think they'd probably keep a clean sheet.
Well, I think they were going to finish the game 2-0 had it not been for the red card. Yeah. So I think then he would have got an absolute haul because he'd have got bonus points because he'd have got the clean sheet as well. It would have been a big haul for Luke Shaw and we'd have all felt differently. But if in these next 2 game weeks against Leeds, he doesn't get clean sheets, then I might think about, well, maybe it's him that I sacrifice because I do also have to think about who's going to play in 25 in terms of team structure and getting out a decent defence.
Okay. All right, let's have a look at our teams, Sam, as they stand so far in game week 22. Here is my team, 61, so a little bit below par. So overall rank change of -3.6, overall rank of 154K. So still fine, like fine, you know what I mean? It's the guys that I was hoping to be differentials for me this week, just not doing it. My template pick's doing all right, but Darwin, Nketiah, De Bruyne, just not doing the business at all. In fact, it was Bruno Fernandes that actually made the difference, outside of Kepa, by the way. I mean, Kepa
legend.
Got the game week off to a flying start with the 10, didn't he? And to be honest, without him in the last few weeks, I don't think I'd be where I am. Another 10-pointer, sensational. And actually, I think I looked at the live BPS on about the 85th, 86th minute. So I was tempting fate by doing so. He's miles ahead of the next best person
Ridiculous.
To get sort of 2 bonus points. Kepa was absolutely flying. So for sure, he's definitely star of the show. I would like to think that if Bruno does get anything against Leeds and Rashford doesn't go too crazy, there, because I think EO for Rashford in and around my rank is about just over 200. So whenever he was getting those points, those 24 points that he got me, 36, obviously, if you did triple captain him, it was having everything he did get a little dent in my rank. So the captaincy for Rashford this week was very much a damage limitation thing, because I did think he was the obvious choice to play a triple captain chip. So if Fernandes does anything against Leeds at home, it should change that small red into a small green, I'm hoping.
Quick.
And it might just flip it over.
Quick word on Kinder Bueno there on your bench, because he didn't play against Liverpool. Is that...
No. probably resting him against the weaker sides.
Okay. I mean, there's no words to reply to that. Is that a concern ahead of 25? Because he being one of your players that you'd be thinking, right, I need you for 25 and you've been great.
Hopefully
it's just, you know, he'd be back for next week. But I guess we just have to wait and see whether he plays in game week 23 or not.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to depend on the John Stones injury and how much I want to hold him. Like, I'm probably going to be holding Stones going into next week. I know I shouldn't, but probably one
because
of the other staff.
Because you're not that bothered about having three City in there, not blocking you?
I look at it and I go, well, Haaland, De Bruyne, yeah. I mean, do I want any City defence for that double game week?
No, I'm not sure that I do.
I've got my three Arsenal, but I'm happy with White and Nketiah. If anything, I'd like to move Martinelli to Odegaard or Saka. So that'll be my transfer if I'm going to make it, I think. And I've got a bit of money in the bank to do that. So maybe I'll just keep John Stones for a bit. And maybe he's fit again by the time 25 rolls around. And then it sorts that issue out for me.
Yeah. Did he say a month, Pep?
Yeah, 3 to 4 weeks, which was a week ago. So he's got a couple of weeks left. So might actually be back.
I don't know.
Either way, it does feel a bit weird having John Stones in there for a double game week when he ain't going to play because he's got his hamstring issue. But either way, I'm looking at my team. It looks okay for game week 23, except I haven't got that Saka or Odegaard in midfield. I would like to have that. I would like to have a bit of coverage there. And of course, with Nketiah and White sitting there, it would have to be Martinelli sideways to a Saka or Odegaard, although it's feeling less sideways now. It's feeling a bit more sideways and up. Of the two, I actually don't have the money to get to Saka. I only have the money to get to Odegaard with one free transfer.
Right.
If I wanted Martinelli to Saka, I would then have to take some money out of Stones. So what I have considered is going Stones to Rico Lewis, and then that would give me the money to do Martinelli to Saka if I wanted to do that. But that would be for -4.
Right.
So that's what I'm thinking. So I'm doing loads of jiggery pokery with my Arsenal and Man City assets ahead of game week 23 because, as usual, I'm focusing on the double game weekers, and maybe that's the wrong thing to do. Maybe I should just be going, well, screw it, get Mitoma in, or just got to punt out Darwin as soon as possible because we're rubbish. But I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to go either Martinelli to Odegaard for a free or do Stones to Rico Lewis and Martinelli to Saka for a 4. That's what I'm thinking. But either way, this game week, a bit par, to be honest with you. A small red, hoping it changes to a small green once Fernandes scores or does the business against Leeds. Your team, on the other hand, Sam, is absolutely flying right now. And for those that didn't catch it, the difference is 1 point now between us. So by the time game week 22 is said and done, and Rashford has played, because you've tripled him and I've only captained him, you will be above me, Sam, from FPL Family. You'll be above me, which is, probably one of the first times this season.
The first.
And I don't feel aggrieved at it, because I feel like I've been doing all right. I mean, I wouldn't say I've been flying, but I've been doing all right. But you've been absolutely smashing it over the last 2 weeks. I don't know where you've come from. It's like unreal. I'm sitting there thinking, this is all right. I'm doing okay. Small green here, small red there. Got a couple of decent greens since the restart. And then I look over my shoulder. Bloody Sam's there. 160k. What's going on? You were about 1.6 million a few weeks ago. Talk us through. I mean, Rashford trip has definitely done the business for you. Kepa, like me, for the last 3 weeks has been an absolute hero, isn't he? Because his EO in and around my rank is about 33% or something like that, which I guess is similar for you.
Yeah.
You had the Mahrez haul from the other week. So just been really, really good. Really, really good.
Sadly, still not as good as our son, who is absolutely smashing me.
Max is in the top 10k, isn't he?
Max is in the top 10k.
Isn't he like 8k?
He's in the top 10k. He's got 87 points this week, and he's still got triple captain Rashford, Luke Shaw.
He's got 87?
And he's, yeah.
He's got Mitoma and Kane.
Yeah. Of course he has.
How much thought, genuinely, do you put into Max's team every week?
Me and him have a 5-minute chat. And I said to him this week, Max, look, dude, I think you know... Really,
why do we do this? Why do we put so much effort into
Bruno Fernandes, and he went, who do I need to sell? Well, probably KDB, yeah, he's rubbish.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
It's what he said. Yeah, he's rubbish. He's playing rubbish at the minute, selling.
Oh, God.
And I was like, all right then, so we've sold him. Anyway, that's beside the point. Yeah, it's been going really well. Honestly, I have been taking some educated gambles. Because you have to. When you want to climb rank, you have to. And so,
are you going to continue to make them?
Yeah, I think you have to now. Right. I think, yes, I could just go, right, okay, now that's it, I'm done. But I'm not where I want to be. I want to finish in the top 10K.
Yeah,
so if I want to finish in the top 10K, we have to keep going and we have to start making more educated gambles that put you ahead. And I have been... There are some things that have not gone well, as in I really wanted Matoma or a Brighton midfielder. And I haven't.
But not having them hasn't hurt you. You've made good decisions around that.
But that's the thing. And this is why the Matoma thing hasn't bothered me, I think, in the same way that it has you. Because so I actually probably would have gone Ferguson and then I'd have had a problem to deal with anyway. But I should have done Darwin to Ferguson a few weeks ago because it would have given me the rank boost. But then I'd have just gone Ferguson to Nketiah for this week. And that would have been what I'd have done. However, it hasn't affected me as much because I have made... But then I also have used an extra chip because I've used my bench boost chip and you haven't used yours yet. So I have to make sure that what I'm doing counts because I have to stay ahead of you enough.
Our bench boost next week with Stones and Bueno and Danny Ward.
Brilliant, thanks.
My bench is in no way, no fit state to be boosted, let me tell you.
I would like, so I made two transfers this week. I did Almiron to Fernandez. I did Gabriel in for Cancelo.
Yeah.
So I now have two Arsenal and two City heading into game week 23. I would really like Saka. But I look at the midfield.
There's actually no difference between like our teams, really, other than I've got my money tied up in De Bruyne.
And mine's in Kane.
And yours is in Kane. And so really, this week came down to Kane and Mahrez versus De Bruyne and Nketiah.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it came down to. Gabriel and White is, yeah, okay, fine. But that's the only difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
And of course, the triple captain.
And the triple captain. I think... Going into next week, the big thing for me is going to be what do I do? Because I would really like Saka. I don't have the money to do... Well, I can't take Mahrez out for a start because he's got a double. I don't think I want to do... Well, I can't afford to do Martinelli to Saka. I can afford to do Martinelli to Ødegaard, but it still only gives me four double game week players. So I don't think I want to do that. So I think I'm just going to go Nketiah and not have one of those... midfielders, so I'll probably
Darwin to Nketiah.
Yeah, don't mind treble up on Arsenal.
Get Liverpool home to Everton, and you're getting rid of Darwin.
But how can I keep him?
No, I agree. I'm not saying you should.
The man is driving me literally insane. I hate him being in my team. I know that if I take him out, he'll bang a hat trick because that's the inevitability of this. But I think. You know, when I look at my... I don't want to take Bruno, unless Bruno gets injured. Because my original plan was the hokey-cokey on Bruno. That was the original plan. Bruno would become Saka for this week. He'd basically come in for the double and then go out again, becoming Saka. But he looked good. And if he looks good again against Leeds, and I know where I'm selling him ahead of Leeds. So he'll have to stay. And then that means I'll take the money out of Darwin, put it in Nketiah, which I quite like anyway, because then that means I've got money that I can reinvest elsewhere across my team. And then, you know, my team's quite nicely set up then. I just need to then think about exit strategies on my Man United players in order that I'm okay for 25. But then I think that puts me in a nice position where I can make those transfers. I mean, I could roll and have two transfers going into 25 and deal with the problems ahead of that one and then just bring them back in if I want. It's not like I've got loads of money tied up in the likes of Bruno and Shaw.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll know more about the potential Brighton double game week coming up. I think there's a chance Liverpool have a game. Not that you're picking them.
There is.
But potential double game week coming up, right?
There is also a chance. Mm-hmm. So Neil wrote a really good article on this on Scout. There is a chance that Liverpool... Is it Liverpool and Chelsea? I think it's Liverpool and Chelsea play each other in blank game week 25 as a double game week.
Yeah.
There's also a chance that there are other fixtures that could go in there because, of course... they've got to fit in around European commitments. And this is a FA Cup week, that week. And because they're out of the... Both of them are out of the cups. There's only three fixtures that could go into blank game week 25.
Okay.
So it's all up in the air again. And it's one of those things at the moment, my advice would be, just try and look at what you know. Try not to overcomplicate it by thinking about what ifs and buts. Just think about what do we know
just
right now.
Just get Matoma.
Well, just what do we know right now? And if I invest in this player, am I okay for 25? As long as you can say yes, this is all fine, then just do it.
Cool. All right. Well, there we go. 160k overall
rank.
It's
nice to be
back, so
actually contending with you, though.
Absolutely bang in the game. Absolutely bang in the game. And again, like I say, it's not because I'm doing bad. It's because you've absolutely smashed it since coming back from the World Cup. And as the chat is rightly saying, Kane got 8 points. Yes, he did. I take the text you can see in the middle of the screen there. That is from Live FPL. So that's absolutely what you got, 79 points.
Yeah,
that includes
Kane's bonus points.
But the screenshot is from the app. So the app was not updated at that stage. So it just gives you an idea. But yes, absolutely. The bit in the middle includes the two bonus points that Kane got for his 8-pointer today. So there we go, Sam. That is it for another FPL family. It's hotting up. The race, Lee versus Sam, the race is hotting up. I thought I had in the bag a few weeks ago. Sitting there watching the World Cup, I thought, wow, you can keep your wooden spoon trophy. Might even get you a new one. And now here we are a few weeks later. You've gone from, what, 2 million odd to about 160k.
Every time you say this, I get further behind you.
I wasn't even worried where you were. I was like, she's so far down, I'm not even concerned. Now you're 1 point behind me. You're going to be above me once Rashford scores against Leeds.
Well, maybe Liverpool will do this as well. They'll come from behind.
No chance.
Unexpected charge.
Absolutely no chance. I'm really worried about the Everton game, I can tell you. Really worried about the Everton game.
Will you go to football, not watch?
Will I do what?
Well, it's normally your football night on a Monday.
Is it on a Monday night?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll be playing five-a-side. I ain't watching that rubbish. I'll be going out. That will be a good reprieve, and I can just get to the end of it. I can play five-a-side, not worry about the score, and just see the us losing at the end of it. That'd be fine. Right, Sam, talk everybody through what we've got coming up this week.
Usual podcast for the Premier League will be out on Thursday. Looking forward to that one. I think it's a really good guest this week. I don't know if I'm allowed
who
to
you got?
I don't know if I'm allowed
go
to
on,
say.
No, just between, go on, I just between us.
But it's not just between us, is it? It's between us and 25,000 subscribers.
Is it a footballer or is it?
Might be. It's a good one.
Usually the footballers are good, actually. When they
it's
go
a good
on.
One. Okay, it's good. A good one. We wanted this guy for ages. Anyway, so he's on this week. That'll be really good. I'm looking forward to that. And Saturday morning,
yes,
we will be back on Sky.
Yes.
The first time I'll be ahead of you. As long as Rashford doesn't get sent off, I will be ahead of Lee on Sky Sports for the first time.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'll be saying, I'm doing all right. Not like I'm having a bad season.
No.
150k is fine,
climbing.
Right? That's fine.
And if Bruno scores, you will get a green arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
And then
you've just absolutely smashed it the last few weeks. I just don't know how it's happened. It seems to have just happened really quickly.
I've had a good restart.
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
Yeah, since the restart, it's gone well. I got on United early, didn't I? Went Rashford and Shaw, and it's gone well.
Very good. Yeah, very good.
Just sometimes life treats you nicely. Other times you get Darwin Nunes. Where it is.
You've got to sell him for Nketiah. That's the most obvious transfer I've ever seen.
Oh, wait, is that happening?
Darwin.
Unless Bruno, Rashford or Shaw gets injured, then yeah. I'll absolutely... You know what's probably going to happen here? One of Bruno or Rashford will get sent off or injured
don't
or something.
Say anything
and like then that. I'll have to sell them for Saka, and then I'll have to keep Darwin again.
Last question, Sam, before we go. Early thoughts on captaincy for next week?
Well, because I don't think I will have Saka, I'll captain Haaland.
Haaland, yeah.
If I had Saka, I would really want to captain him over Haaland.
If you've not yet seen the, if you can call them highlights, of Aston Villa versus Leicester yesterday, and Aston Villa's defending, I would encourage you to go and watch that on Match of the Day,
and then
captain Haaland for next week. I mean, we were bad, but Villa were quite bad and all.
Okay, but I'm just going to say, I think we sit here, not next week, but in 2 weeks' time when that game week's over, and we say,
should have gone with
two blanks
Saka
for Haaland.
Should have gone with Nketiah. Should have gone with Mitoma. Let's face it, easy answer.
Mitoma. He's the answer to everything.
He's just the answer. Right,
there'll
folks,
be an Ohana this week as well, guys. For our patrons,
of course. Oh, yes.
There will be an Ohana on Friday morning, as usual, and we'll put out some voice notes. In fact, when we get off this stream, I'm going to do a voice note on Harry Kane and his 200 goals.
Go for it. I'm sure the podcasters will appreciate that.
Podcasters,
Hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of FPR Family, and hope you're enjoying the voice notes, folks, on the podcast. And for those of you that are watching us on YouTube right now, wherever you get your podcast, go and subscribe to us over there as well, because we put out this extra content through our podcasting platform, and it's called FPR Family Voice Notes. We do these little, whenever there's no schedule, we're just like, when I've got something to say, I'll just say it. Or when you've got 10 minutes, just get something off your mind.
I did one, didn't I, on Triple Captain in Rashford. You did one on...
I did one on How Rubbish We Are, probably. I don't know.
Did you?
Don't know. Did something.
Oh, if that'll go viral if you've done one on Why Liverpool Are So Rubbish. Because if it's anything like the rant you've just gone on...
I don't know about that. But if you want to do one about Kane's 200 goals, I'm sure that the little quick 10-minute podcast, people would really enjoy
I want to immortalise that.
There you go.
So... coming soon to a podcast channel near you.
All right, make sure you like and subscribe the stream, guys, and go and subscribe to the podcast channel wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a like before you go. Well done to everybody in game week 22, particularly Rashford triple captainers. Well done. Look forward to even more points in midweek when they play Leeds United. And then we will see you as usual this time next week for another FPL Family. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll see you soon. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.